Yahweh bless you. I'll be giving tonight's teaching. It's going to be keys to Abraham's certainty. So Dad was doing a teaching. The Hebrew word for faith is aman. It means certainty, which is neat because Dad was explaining that if somebody asks you, are you certain? To be like, are you sure? Are you sure? Then you say, I am certain. Or you say, well, I think. And that's when you're looking at the Hebrew word faith, when you're trying to understand these things, it's certainty. And there's certain levels of certainty, no pun intended, but there is. And what really started the whole stirring of this teaching was, my dad did a teaching, he was talking about the wickedness that was in Israel, Moses, to go kill all these wicked ones. Here's your brothers, your sisters, your sword. And if you're not ready to do that, well, then you just need to be ready to admit that you're not ready. And when Dad said that, Dad sounded very certain. And when you, after he said that, I'm not ready at this point to go kill Izzy. I'm not. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So when Dad said it, like, matter of fact, but no, I'm not there. So I gotta be honest with it. Not to kill Izzy, but this was family members are doing wickedness. Now, if the whole group was doing something, it'd make it a lot easier. But what's important about that is, you okay?
Yeah.
It's upside down. Is there's nothing wrong with not being where you are, but it's very important for all of us to be honest where we are. And then to evaluate and say, because, you know, there's times, I'll be real honest with you, that I'm pretty happy with my life. And if somebody comes along, you're not where you need to be, I'm like, I'm pretty comfortable. And am I a 10? If the Apostle Paul's a 10, I might be a 5. I'm still pretty comfortable. So what's wrong with my thinking? What's wrong with your thinking? Dad seemed, that when Dad said that, and he said that, I was looking around going, does anybody else believe this besides Dad? That's what I was thinking. I'm not there yet. Okay, so how do we get there? How do we get the levels of certainty to do whatever Yahweh calls us to do? And we're going to look at Abraham. Because if there was anybody that was certain, it was Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, page 51. See, would Mom, would you read 1 through 10?
Just kind of give it chapter 22, right?
Yeah.
And it came to pass after these things that Yahweh did prove Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold me. And he said, take, I pray thee, thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and cause him to ascend there as an ascending sacrifice on one of the mountains which I shall name unto thee. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the pieces of wood for an ascending sacrifice, and mounted and went his way unto the place which Yahweh had named to him. It was on the third day that Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, tarry by yourselves here with the ass, but I and the young man must go yonder, that we may bow ourselves down and return unto you. So Abraham took the pieces of wood for the ascending sacrifice and laid them on Isaac his son, and took in his own hand the fire and the knife, and they went on their way, both of them together. Then said Isaac unto Abraham his father, then said he, my father? And he said, behold me, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the pieces of wood, but where is the lamb for an ascending sacrifice? And Abram said, Yahweh will provide for himself the lamb for an ascending sacrifice, my son. So they went on their way, both of them together. Then came they into the place which Yahweh had named to him, and Abraham built there the altar, and laid in order the pieces of wood, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar above the pieces of wood.
Okay, what's up? Okay, now a couple important things about this. Other translations are going to say Yahweh tested Abraham. That's the wrong translation of the word. You say it's proved. what's really important about a couple different things. How old is Isaac? He's about 30. People will paint him as a child because it says lad. And so the translation of the word lad, I guess a vulgar usage during those paintings, was a little kid. A lad was somebody about 30 and under. That's Austin. Okay. Abraham's about 130. Who's going to win a wrestling match?
The son.
The son. Okay. And then what was real important about this is Genesis 3:15, page 38. Actually, page 36. What is the curse? In actually 3:19. I can read it. But in 3:15, Yahweh tells Adam and Eve, Yahweh in the beginning created everything good. Everything was created good. Why do we have storms, diseases, bubonic plagues? Adam and Eve screwed it up, and then we have the adversary also when man participates with him. But Yahweh gave the first prophecy, the seed of the woman is going to come and fix all this. So there's a promise. And then if you look at verse 19, you guys don't have to be there, but page 36. And another part of the curse is this. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thy return to the ground from whence thou wast taken. Okay? The ground is going to be... Oh, let me see here. No, I missed it. So it's verse 17. And to the man he said, because thou didst hearken to the voice of thy wife, so didst eat of the tree as which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, accursed be the ground. So the ground's cursed because of Adam. Okay? So what would have happened with Noah and everybody else before Abraham? They would have said, why are bad things happening? Just like Charlie and Allison. Why did somebody, bad things happen? A baby just died. People are going to say, Yahweh did it. Christians are going to say, Yahweh did it. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, Yahweh did not do that. That's not my God. And Jesus Christ didn't kill any babies during his ministry. What happened? We have the fall of man. But what we also have with the fall of man is that the ground is cursed. And now, this E.W. Bollinger points out in chapter 12, this page 43, and if you can get there, you can. If not, it's being recorded. Chapter 12, verse 3. Yahweh calls Abraham out of the land of his father. And he's by himself, which is neat, because I was talking in the beginning about it. It'd be easier to do a big act of faith if he had a group of 300 people with you.
Yeah.
Or 10,000, right? He's blended. Abraham's doing these things on his own. So Moses was similar, so was the Apostle Paul. And that's what we should be comparing ourselves. How do they do it? Not just, oh, they're up there, I'm down here. No, how do they get to that point? That's the point of these stories. But in verse 3 it says, one of the results of Abraham coming was this, that I may bless them who bless thee, but him who maketh light of thee will I curse, so shall be blessed in thee all the families of the what?
Ground.
Adame, the ground. This is a reversal of the curse of the ground. Did Abraham see the curse? Did he see curses everywhere? Yeah, you see thorns, you see thistles, you see diseases. What's wrong with this urn? Okay, it's going to be fixed. A baby's going to come, and it's going to come through Abraham. So here's what Abraham knows. And then he gets, when he's 100 years old, he's going to have Isaac. What's the problem with Isaac being offered up? Jesus Christ is going to be coming through Isaac to reverse all this. How's this going to work? This isn't just a kid. Yahweh, this is your plan of fixing everything. If he dies, how is this going to work? And so you're going to, how would he do that? So you can keep a finger here, or I have the page numbers. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. How did Abraham do this? I thought I had the page number.
230?
Yeah, 230, thank you. We're going to come back to this, page 231, chapter 11, verse 17. Austin, would you read 17?
I'm still getting there. You okay. Said 230?
Yeah, page 236.
It's page 231.
Yeah, 31, thank you.
What are we looking at?
17 through 19.
All right. By faith, Abraham, when tested, offered up Isaac, and the only begotten would he have offered up who the promise had accepted. Even him of whom it had been said, and Isaac shall there be called to thee a seed. Accounting that even from among the dead, God was able to raise him whence?
Yeah.
Whence even in
simulated.
Similitude?
Yeah. He bare him. So that's him, so it says Abraham knew that Yahweh was going to have to what? Egairo, which is a Greek word. What did Abraham know going into this?
I said he was going to be.
Yahweh was going to raise him from among the dead. You have to.
Yeah.
There's going to be a resurrection, because he even says it to the two young men. And so most of us already know that. But he told the two young men, we're both coming back.
Yeah.
There's going to be a resurrection. Sarah's not there. Can you imagine what's in the back of his mind? What if it doesn't work? How am I going to tell Sarah this? Yeah. Talk about missing it. Whoops.
That's no.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what's going to be. He was going to have to control his thinking, and so are you. You don't think certain things. You got to stay focused. But Isaac was going to be resurrected. And Abraham didn't have Hebrews to get to read. Look at this. And Abraham didn't know Jesus Christ was going to need to read about this, about a son laying down his life for his father in hope of a resurrection. We get that. Jesus Christ knew that. Abraham didn't have that. And in the back of his mind, he might have had confirmation through the Ruach, but as far as we know, a prophet didn't go, here it is, you made it, front page.
Yeah.
Here's why you had to do it, Jesus Christ, and how to see this, and you're like, oh wow, that's neat. There's going to be some things Yahweh's going to ask you to do that's not going to necessarily make sense, but you're going to know you need to do it. But here's Abraham doing it. What's really neat about this, we turn to Romans chapter 4, page 154, and we're going to come back to Hebrews and Genesis. It says, so 154... So it doesn't have to necessarily be like Moses killing people. It could be whatever it is. What is it that you have that you won't give up? Dad, would you give up watching sports? Aaron, would you give up working out? Whatever. Would you? Okay, yeah, I think I could do it. But it actually would be good for all of us is to address what you wouldn't give up. I wouldn't give up anything.
Really?
Really? Wow, that's amazing. Well, I hope to be so, but I think all of us have something we need to work on, be a work in progress. But in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, because this wasn't going to be the first time that Isaac was raised from among the dead, in a way of speaking. Because in verse 19, so you can imagine Abraham walking up the mountain, and this, how is this going to work? He's going to be resurrected from the dead. He's going to be awakened from the dirt, from the dust. Adam was taken from the dust. Okay. Golly, and you've been called on a faith walk, a certainty walk? And you're sitting there, how am I going to do this? It's good for you to look behind. What have you done together with Yahweh in your past? What big things have you overcome? And if you're truly trying to be faithful and be obedient, and you humble yourself, Yahweh will remind you of the things you've gone over. He's going to say, you remember that one and this one? Oh, yeah. Because look at this. We're going to look at the story of Abraham and Isaac in verse 19. And with that, and this is talking about Abraham. And without becoming weak in his faith, he attentively considered his own body already deadened, he being 100 years old, the deadening also in Sarah's womb. His womb, his fruit, and Sarah's fruit was already dead. And Yahweh brought Isaac out of that death. He could do it again. Did it once. And so you can see that was Adam Clark pointed that out. It wouldn't be the first time. Adam Clark goes, Isaac was brought up out of death anyways. I'm like, how do you explain that? I kept reading the footnotes. He goes, Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham was dead. He's already used to that kind of resurrection. I'm like, I never thought about that. And here's Romans. It's just something to think about. Now, Isaac was already resurrected once, but how could someone attain such certainty? Matthew chapter 6. Let's see, that's about page 7. Actually, page 5. It's an easy one to remember, Matthew 6:31. See, what are we supposed to be doing? The purpose of our calling. Seek ye first Yahweh's reign, his authority, and his righteousness in your life. If you're not obeying him, he's got no reign in your life. That's a word for kingdom. Are you obeying him? No. then seek his reign. Give him some real estate inside there. But why? But in verse 21, you say, let's see here. For where thy treasure is, there will be thy heart also. So even as I was considering Abraham, and I'm walking up there, what kind of guy is Isaac? Father, I carry the wood like you said. Where's the lamb? I see the fire. Dad, where's the lamb? What kind of tender movie could we look at? And there would have been a neat conversation about a son talking to his dad. What kind of guy is this? And before I started looking at these scriptures, and I was trying to figure out, how could you do that? You know, okay. Even if there was a resurrection, okay, but Isaac would have been like, I thought I was a promised seed. It was going to come through me, Dad. You're going to have to be resurrected. Ugh, are you serious? How long would this take? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it didn't take long. Maybe it took a long time. Maybe they prayed together. Maybe they wept together. Maybe they hugged each other, say goodbye. But I'll see you in a little bit, Dad, right? Can you imagine? If you consider that and you think about your rats or something, your daughters. Could you slit their throat? But that's where I was missing it. And if you look at that story from that perspective, you missed it too. Because if you read that story from that perspective, where would Abraham's treasure be?
In his son.
In that life. Here. That's it. He's going to lose everything. And you and I will never attain the certainty of Abraham or any of the great ones if our treasure's right around here. Because what we know is, let's see here. Turn to 11, or Hebrews 11, go back to Hebrews 11, page 11:30. So I took debate too. But it's good to be crushed, to be emotional, going in this, thinking about this. I could see them crying and weeping and putting their arms around each other, tears, and it was a 130-year-old man. And you know what Adam Clark also says? And he said that, this is what he says, food for thought. He said that it was such a hike they couldn't bring the donkeys. Can you imagine a 100-year-old man getting it? This is neat. He lived to be 175. He didn't know that. But he had a height to get up there sweating. They had their fellowship, cry together. Well, you know what? Hey, how did he do it? Chapter 11, verse... Let me get there first. And the word faith, insert the word certainty to substitute aman. How did he do it? How? How could he do this? Verse 8, by certainty being called, Abraham obeyed to come forth into a place he was destined to receive for an inheritance. And also through that calling, the curse was going to be reversed, to see the woman's coming. Oh, wouldn't that be neat? What if you got a prophecy, Dad, that it was your grandchildren? Here's your reward, Chuck Cunningham. Your seed will be the two witnesses. You serious? The two witnesses back here? If you keep this up, it will be your seed. And then after the resurrection, you'll be famous forever. And you'll get to watch a movie. Hey, Captain, it's going to be the two witnesses. We heard about this. You can imagine what Abraham would have heard. Let me see here. As he came forth, not well knowing whether he was going, by certainty, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as a foreign land, intense dwelling. Along with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise, for he was awaiting the city having foundations whose architect and builder was Yahweh. Where was Abraham's treasure, guys? It was the resurrection. And even as he was climbing that mountain, go back to Genesis, as he's climbing that mountain, he's going, God, I have everything to lose. But wait a minute. I can invest everything into this relationship in this life that's but a vapor with Isaac. But what about our relationship after the resurrection? And what is a resurrection?
From the dead.
He didn't know what it was going to be.
Well,
He didn't know when the seed of the woman was coming. As far as we know, Eve thought, Cain was going to be the seed of the woman. They didn't know either. But you can imagine, what was he focusing on? The city where Yahweh was dwelling, when everything's fixed again. That's how he did it. God, when's it going to be? And you can imagine what my, and even if Isaac was his treasure here, what is that relationship going to be like in life? Especially if Charlie or Allison, when they're teenagers, and they go, you either let me do what I want to do or I'm out of here. Okay. You're out of here. Well, that's going to hurt if your treasures are in this life. But if you have believers, it'd be the same way with Caden. You come here and go, Aaron, you can either invest in this life that you have right here with these kids. Are they saved? Yeah. Or you can invest in the relationship you're going to have after the resurrection.
Yeah.
And that's what he would have done. That's where his treasure would have been. And you go, okay, I can do that. I can do that. Genesis chapter 22, page 51. Verse 11. So Abraham takes the knife. His son's there. He's there. He's getting ready to slit the throat. Then called out unto him the messenger of Yahweh out of the heavens. Adam Clark. This is excellent commentary. And I don't believe he believed in the Trinity. Because you should see how he's writing it. And then, after he writes this incredible paragraph, he inserts a little bitty paragraph at the end. This was Jesus Christ. I think he's just, okay, you have to bow down to the Trinity, otherwise you're not going to get this. If you see the way this guy's writing, because he's writing the climax of all these things happening, the seed of the woman's going to be coming through here, and then the angel comes, and here's all the resurrection, and then all of a sudden at the end of it, it's gorgeous how he writes, and then he put in, I better add this, yes, this, the, and then he's going to put that the angel was Jesus. But that's why I don't think he believed it. I think he had to add that in there. Otherwise, he'd be called a heretic, burned at the stake. But anyways, he's writing this. Here's this climax. And it was neat that he also said that Yahweh will provide himself a lamb. And Yahweh would provide himself a lamb. It's going to be his own son. Then called out unto him the messenger of Yahweh out of the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, behold me. Then he said, do not... I don't think it was a hush. If he's getting ready, if you're going to cut your son's throat, would you do this? You're going to do this quick, right? Hey! Yikes! At least that's how I imagine it. Everybody's like, look at, who's that? And then you're going to go, stop everything! Do not put forth thy hand unto the young man. Neither do to him anything at all. For, and then John Lynn pointed this out. What's the next word?
Now.
In other words, Yahweh didn't know up until this point if he would actually obey. How many times have you and I or anything, we knew what we're supposed to do and we're convinced we're going to do it, and Yahweh's gone, faith without works is dead. Maybe, maybe not. But it wasn't even for the patriarch, Yahweh did not know until then that he was going to do it. And now know I, one who reveres Elohim, thou art, when thou hast not withhold thy son, thy only one from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Can you imagine his adrenaline? The tears? Him and his dad looking, what just happened? Did Isaac hear this voice? Can you imagine the climax? Then the messenger, nope, don't do it. How close we were pulling that trigger. And here he is, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, a ram, just like the words that came out of his mouth, caught behind in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and caused him to ascend as an ascending sacrifice instead of his son. And I can imagine Abraham and Isaac tying the ram up together. What just happened, Dad? What? We don't know. Not real sure. How's your peace? Feel really good. No, not just with the climax, because they would have peace going into it too. But then Yahweh calls there. You ever had that? Yahweh's called me in certain directions. I go, I'm supposed to go here. All right. Then he tells me to. I'm like, no, you told me to go here. He goes, now I'm telling you to turn. Have you ever had that? And you don't want to do it? Okay, here's a right turn. Let me see here. Uh, Oh, yeah, that was neat. Okay, verse 14. So Abraham called the name of that place. What a good word for us. Yahweh Yair. As to which is still said today, the mountain of Yahweh will provision be made. So Yahweh Yair is Yahweh will provide.
You're right.
And you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, you know, you're going to get caught in sin. Or you're going to paint yourself in a corner with good intentions. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no trial that man has gone through that not... that is not common to man. Yahweh is faithful. He always gives you a way out. You know, so that's different, but he'll provide a way. Then called out the messenger Yahweh to Abraham a second time out of the heavens. Can you imagine this? Think of this. Think about Peter. Quiet! This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And Peter, is somebody stuttering? Think about Yahweh talking when the dove comes down. And he goes, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. How much did that bless John the Immerser to hear those words? If you adore and love Yahweh, wouldn't you love just to hear that in front of everybody? Oh. Now they both hear this again. And he said, by myself have I sworn an oracle of Yahweh, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now. You could add the word now. Now, because you did this, now that I will richly bless thee and abundantly multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is in the lip of the sea, that thy seed may take possession of the gate of his foes, so shall all the nations of the earth bless themselves in thy seed, because thou hast hearkened to my voice. How many people were on the line with this obedience? How many righteous Hebrews came after Abraham? I was thinking about that with Joseph. His father loved him more than his brothers. Not fair, right? Not fair. You can't love your brother more than another. And Joseph's father loved his mom, Rachel, more than all the rest of them, right? You can't do that either. What about poor Leah? Huh? Huh? If you look at it from that perspective, Joseph had it coming. So did his dad. You can't. We see what you're doing. And then you see the end of it, and Adam Clark points this out. He said it was Joseph that explained that had you guys not sold me into slavery, all of Egypt and Canaan would have died. So here this is, even in this case, and I wonder with each one of us, there's certain things Yahweh is asking you to do that there's thousands, if not millions, of people in the line. Would you do it? And because he obeyed, then Yahweh was able to bless him. Yahweh, with Abraham, was not done perfecting his faith. Think about perfecting an artist. Think about Leonardo da Vinci. Think about Michelangelo. Think about President Donald Trump. Is he a perfectionist? Mm-hmm. You kidding me? Abraham, he's 130 years old. I'm an old man. I'm pretty perfect. That's about as good as I'm going to get, right? No? No. And Yahweh is perfecting his certainty, going, I can get more out of you. And you know what he does is that Adam Clark also says this. He goes, Yahweh was perfecting certainty through Abraham for all the rest of the generations. Did Abraham know this?
No.
He did not know how many people were going to read, but he was perfecting him, going, he's got more in there. Can you imagine how much he's going to bless if we keep tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it? Is Yahweh done perfecting you? What's up to you? And you ask yourself, you're going to go, I used to have a real civil war when I was your age, and right around your age too, a little bit. I was afraid to ask for it. Speak for your service listening. Do you know why? He's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. True though, right? But where was my problem was? I was focusing on these tiny little things I might have to give up, little vices, little sins, little bad habits, instead of focusing on what he could give us. That where your heart is, your treasure will be. So all of us, you need to start thinking about something, have something. Every single one of us, you could say, what is your greatest lottery ticket item thing that would change everything? What would be the one thing that would change everything for you, that if you got this one thing? And not, I always want world peace. No, be something tangible and start from there. Yahweh wants to perfect you and your certainty and your faith. But if you never take your mind there, your heart's not going there, how can he do it? So the keys to Abraham's certainty and the perfection of his faith was where his heart was. He was focusing on the resurrection. He was focusing on the life to come. And he was focusing on the city. In the book of Revelation, the city of the New Jerusalem is the size of Texas. It's a city. A city. How tall is it? They didn't talk about how tall this place is. And it, I think, I remember I did the math once. I can look back there. But it's like 10 Mount Kilimanjaros or Everest stacked. That's how tall the city is. Fast elevators, right? We're really good at glutes if you have to take the stairs. It's huge. It's big. What's it going to be like? Focus on this each day. Not just that, but the things in between too. And think about these things and to go, and because you need to, every one of us needs to go through it's like somebody who never checked to see if they had jumper cables. And then they're stranded, you're like, you really don't know you had jumper cables? Well, at least my dad be like, are you serious? You didn't know you didn't have a spare tire? Oh, great. What is this? But do you have something that will get you over the hump that if Yahweh's going to ask you something big to do? Start thinking about these things and get like the city, like Abraham did, and then you could be perfecting your faith too. And you never know. I was thinking about that one time. What would be very difficult for me to do? And I had to go there, and it'd be homosexuals that had been blown up and shot wherever, in a bar or something like that. Because if you do anything about homosexuality and the diseases, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad. If you went into something like that, it is so contaminated. How would you do it? And actually, Yahweh took me there. Because I don't want to go in there. There's a lot of reasons I don't want to go in there. But he had to go. Okay, how would you do it? And how would you do this? And I go, I'm going to need a big dowry. You know, King David said, what will I get? Yeah. Well, no taxes for your dad. You get to marry the king's daughter. What's she look like? All right, let me think about it. All right. And then he turned again. He asked twice, what am I going to get? There's nothing wrong with that, because through that, David killed Goliath and the Philistines. Okay. And that's where your heart is. That's where your treasure will be. Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for Dad filming and putting these things on audio and distributing anywhere they want. But Father, we just thank you that, you know, it is a weak believer that I am trying to work out of. I want to be able to do things alone with you. Help us be like your leaders. Moses was by himself so much, but he's with you. Abraham was by himself, but he was with you. We just get to choose. Which company do you want? And if you're the universe, if you're our whole world, then we can orbit you, and our faces will shine just as Moses did, you, through your son Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach. I just thank you for helping us control our heart and our mind to go, that is the purpose of our existence. And I keep going back to Adam and Eve as two people stranded on a desert island called Earth. There's only two of them. That's it. That'd be a wonderful thing, as long as we have you. So Father, I just thank you for all these things and for these words. I'll give a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. Be not fearful of the future. You fear the future because you don't know what's in it. You fear the future because it's like a dark room and you're a little kid and you've never been in there. You fear the future the way a child fears the basement. It's unknown and it's dark. But the only reason why your future is dark is because you've not taken your imagination into those rooms. You were born to light things up. And there are dark things in your future. But until you walk down those hallways, you will illuminate those hallways. You'll find out the greatest treasures are down there. It's like walking through, I can see it. I can clearly see it. It's like walking through people exploring the pyramids of Giza. Inside these things were treasures of the pharaohs. Except our Father has all these treasures for us. And it's up to us to produce the faith to walk down there and with him. Amen. Mm-hmm.